You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome, citizens, to this day in history with Benjamin J. Goldson.
Yes, it's time for This Day in History, as you expected. So This Day in History takes us back to 2011 and the start of an uprising in Egypt against then-President Hosni Mubarak, who had ruled the country since the death of his predecessor Anwar Sadat in 1981. You might remember Sadat from last week's This Day in History. He was the one who had signed the Camp David Accords with Bill Clinton and Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin, but had been assassinated for this. Anyway, after his death, Mubarak had spent three decades as a president and had attracted a reputation as a corrupt dictator, refusing to hold free elections and suppressing dissent wherever it emerged, while accumulating wealth for him and his family. However, Egypt remained relatively close to the United States and Israel due to Sadat's legacy, and so did not attract the same attention as other leaders such as Iraq's Saddam Hussein. The uprising against him would therefore start organically, with demonstrations breaking out on this day in history, the 25th of January.
January the 25th, 2011. The Arab Spring spreads to Egypt with a day of rage.
Freedom! And we're gonna take our freedom!
Boiling point in the northern Egyptian city of Mahalla. An estimated 2,000 people took to the streets, setting fires, looting shops, and throwing bricks at riot police. 150 people were arrested and at least 80 wounded as the city took on the appearance of a war zone. A simple combination of steeply rising prices and stagnant wages have pushed these people to the edge.
We have to express our frustration. The prices of all foodstuffs have been escalating. Rice, cereals, meat, everything. People can't even afford feeding themselves anymore.
A nationwide day of action had been arranged for Sunday, but the government took action to stop the protest in its tracks, deploying large numbers of police in Cairo and other cities. Mahalla was expected to be a flashpoint, home to the largest textile factory in Egypt. Workers here were planning to revive a year-old strike, but one of the organizers says they were intimidated by police.
The strike was defeated because of the heavy security presence outside the factory. On the inside, there were also agents in plain clothes who prevented workers from gathering.
Some workers were upset with the decision to cancel the strike and held a protest of their own. This was the result.
And overseas tonight, anti-government demonstrators in Egypt exploded in new violence. Today, at least six people were killed, almost 900 arrested in 2 days of bloody clashes.
Today, the Egyptian government said enough. The crowds were beaten back. Protesters punched as they were dragged away.
Despite the police being far more aggressive, these protesters are clearly not backing down. You can hear tear gas canisters being fired in the distance. Here, the protesters are breaking stones and burning tires, hoping for a showdown with the police.
Tension in Egypt increased tonight. Protesters torched a fire station outside Cairo, looted weapons, and turned them on police. And an even bigger protest is expected tomorrow.
For every punch, for every blast of tear gas from the police, the protesters have come back in greater numbers with greater conviction and growing influence.
Despite the repression of the Mubarak government, the United States remained relatively muted on the issue, even as the situation continued to deteriorate.
It's complicated. Does not even begin to describe America's relationship with Egypt. In exchange for more than $1 billion of your tax dollars a year, the land of the pharaohs has been a partner in fighting terrorism and defending Israel. But Egypt is also run by a man many resent as a modern-day pharaoh, clinging to power through police brutality and rigged elections, while his average subject scratches by on $6 a day. Resentment over this arrangement has been simmering for years. It boiled over this week and exploded tonight, setting the White House and the world on edge.
The scenes are unprecedented. most violent day in 4 days of violent clashes in the heart of the Arab world, reaching a fever pitch unthinkable a week ago. Volleys of rubber bullets and tear gas fired at protesters, buildings and cars set on fire. A people furious and rising up to demand an end to decades of rule by a man the United States considers perhaps its most important ally in the Middle East, but widely reviled here in Egypt as a repressive and corrupt dictator who has long tortured and imprisoned his own people. Despite the curfew, despite the armored military vehicles on the streets, protests continue tonight. Tanks have surrounded the U.S. Embassy to protect it. From our perch, we've heard explosions, cheers, battles. It's been an incredible 24 hours with the government of President Hosni Mubarak on the ropes, trying to figure out what to do in the face of such incredible anger.
That was part one of This Day in History. Part two will continue after these messages.
Banks Arcade's Cold Ones Tour, February 1st at the King's Arms. It's time for hip-hop and heavy metal to come together. To celebrate their new EP, Endnote, Banks Arcade will be joined by rap artists Rich James, Lucas and Neo, along with heavy act Seas of Conflict for one epic night of music. Banks Arcade's Cold Ones Tour, February 1st at the King's Arms. Ticket sales via Eventbrite. For more info, check out Banks Arcade on Facebook.
It's only the must-see show of the summer.
I'm going up the country, babe, don't you wanna go?
Purveyors of fine vintage country and rhythm and blues, Kitty Daisy and Lewis, are being joined by Blind Boy Paxton for one night of authentic musical good times. And if you want to win yourself tickets, all you need to do is stay tuned to 95BFM all this week. Simple. 95BFM presents Kitty Daisy and Lewis and Blind Boy Paxton, February 11th at the Power Station. Tickets on sale now from AAA Ticketing.
Have at you, Trixie Wirtlewind!
Yield!
Ruska, you devil, by the cleansing light of Sarah, I summon!
Hey, Terry, wait, stop! We agreed that Sarah was the guiding deity of my clan?
Screw you, dickweed! You guys are OPS! We need Sarah!
Well, let's just all have bloody Sarah then! How about that? I'm cutting the baby in half!
With a little something for everyone, Sarah is the guiding light on your Saturday afternoon. The Saturday 2 to 4 with Sarah, only on 95BFM.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te wire, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire.
We now return to This Day in History, where we left off. Demonstrations against Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak were facing a violent crackdown from security forces.
Turning to Egypt now, if the Mubarak regime expected protesters to lose interest after 2 weeks of anti-government demonstrations, it was badly mistaken. They once again jammed the main square in Cairo today, demanding the president step down now. But tonight, his vice president insisted Mubarak is not leaving anytime soon and warned the protests won't be allowed to continue for long.
Despite these statements, the military, an important power broker in Egypt, began to turn against Mubarak. Sensing that the unrest was not just a blip, the army called on Mubarak to resign, which he did on February the 11th, 18 days after This Day in History, January the 25th.
The end came in a terse 30-second statement from Egypt's vice president.
President Mohamed Hosni Mubarak has decided to waive the office of the President of the Republic.
In Tahrir Square, there was instant jubilation.
All Egyptians are happy for this news.
Listen to that crowd. That's what they've been waiting for. Hosni Mubarak has gone.
Many thought that it might be just simply an announcement that he was going for a vacation or a rest in Sharm el-Sheikh. And that certainly is not what they just heard.
New dawn in Cairo. But on this first morning of the bright new era in this country, there is a haze of uncertainty in Egypt.
Here's here's what we know about the new power structure. The defense minister, Mohammed Hossein Tantawi, heads the High Military Council, which is in charge. It's expected to dissolve both houses of parliament soon and manage a transition to elections with a civilian head of the Constitutional Court.
And Liz, what kinds of signals is the military sending? And are you getting any sense how long this military rule will last?
Well, we got a strong hint this morning. There was a specific statement from the military saying they would act as guarantors toward free and transparent elections for the presidency this fall. That's as far as it goes so far now. They've said they're going to issue a timeline in the next few days. Katie?
Liz Palmer in Cairo tonight. Liz, thank you.
After Mubarak was ousted, Egypt held elections in June 2012, which were won by the candidate of the Muslim Brotherhood, Mohamed Morsi. The new government would become embroiled in controversy, however, as they were accused of marginalising more secular liberals, although in turn they said that the liberals had refused to enter government when they had been offered it. Street demonstrations broke out again, this time calling for Morsi's resignation. Morsi refused and was ousted in a coup led by Minister of Defence Abdallah Fattah el-Sisi, who would assume the presidency, and again win in a disputed election with apparently nearly 97% of the vote, and has remained president ever since.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.